Take your Bibles out and turn with me to Daniel chapter 12. To follow this morning, I will encourage you to get your bulletins out, maybe if you are wanting to do some more study. This is my sermon notes. So a little bit maybe less organized than you might expect, but that's the notes I wrote down when I went through my sermon first time. And I want to encourage you, you're going to need your Bible to follow along with me this morning as we study God's Word. And I'll begin by reading Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael the archangel, who stands guard over your nation, will arise. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting disgrace. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and I saw two others standing on the opposite banks of the river. One of them asked the man dressed in linen, who was standing above the river, who's now standing above the river, how long will it be until these shocking events are over? The man dressed in linen who was standing above the river raised both of his hands toward heaven and took a solemn oath by the one who lives forever, saying, I will go on, it will go on for a time, times and a half time, when the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end. All these things will have happened. I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? And he said, go now, Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials. But the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. From the time the daily sacrifice is stopped and the sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshipped, there will be 1290 days. And blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of the 1335 days. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, it's been such a challenge for me. I pray that I'll be clear in my words that you have given me. Make them clear, Lord. May your spirit speak in our hearts, in my heart, and move in my tongue as I speak, that only your words will be spoken. We thank you for your spirit that guides us into the truth. Open our hearts and open our minds so that we can see the truths of your scriptures this morning and realize the blessed hope of the resurrection that is ours through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've done it. We've come to the last chapter in Daniel. No sighs of relief. There's some maybe some sighs of relief there. This has been kind of a challenging one for me. Don't get me wrong. I loved the testimonies of standing in the face of adversity, going through the fiery furnace, and surviving without even smelling like smoke. That's an incredible story. Crazy dreams that have so deep of a meaning that even the people that were explaining them couldn't understand them. Sleeping with lions. What an incredible story. A king eating grass. That's a good one. Reading the handwriting on the wall. Those are all great stories, but to be honest, when it came to the prophetic part of Daniel, I was a little nervous. I am a little nervous. There's so many ways to take this and so many different views on how to interpret this book of prophecy. It's been so rewarding to dig into this book, into these chapters that are usually neglected when it comes to preaching because they're so hard to preach on. I struggled with many of these sermons. But through the struggle, there was a reward. And I hope you are encouraged by them as well. And as we approach Daniel chapter 12, Daniel presents some insights into the last chapter on this earth. The end times, as they're labeled. Things that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 11, and in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, and 1 Corinthians 15, and John describes in detail in Revelation. Jesus talks about this end times in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, and many opinions have been taken on how to interpret some of these passages. But the one thing that all followers of Jesus Christ bank on is the hope of the resurrection. That's one area that we really agree on, that there is a resurrection. There is eternal life with God forevermore, awaiting those who have faith in Jesus Christ. But until then, we have a window of opportunity to spread the good news, to shine as stars in our communities and in our families and in our churches, to shine as stars and to spread the good news about Jesus Christ, that He has made the way for all of us to come to Him through the sacrifice that He gave on the cross. So as we look at chapter 12, I pray that you will be encouraged, not discouraged by numbers or by confusing events and beasts that you know nothing about. And granted, there's been numerous opinions on all of them, but I hope that today you are encouraged by the hope of the resurrection. No matter if you agree or disagree with me, that you will bank on that one hope that Christ is coming back. And we can bank on it. So Daniel chapter 12, I'm going to go through a lot of verses this morning. So I encourage you to write them down, because you'll want to go back and you'll want to check me, because you maybe have been taught differently on these verses. So I want you to write these verses down and be encouraged by them and be challenged by the word this morning. The first point I want to make from the first four verses there is the reality of the resurrection. At that time, Michael, the archangel, who stands guard over your nation, will arise. He's talking to Daniel. Michael is apparently in charge of Israel, guards over Israel. He will arise at this end time. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations have first come into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Many of those bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting disgrace. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there and knowledge will increase. There's a reality of the resurrection. Now, I'm going to take some other verses to give us a little broader picture of what Daniel is talking about in these verses. Romans chapter 11, if you remember the study in Romans chapter 11, in verses 26, Paul talks about the full number of Gentiles coming to Christ. There's going to be a time in reading in verse 25. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. There's a window that God has created during the church age, which we live in now, for Gentiles to come to Christ. It's a window of opportunity. In verse 26, after the full number of Gentiles come to Christ, and so also Israel will be saved. There's going to be a time when the Gentiles can come to Christ, but there's going to be a closing of that window, and then God is going to turn His attention to the nation of Israel. Some people think that God is through with Israel, and we read in Romans chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected His own people, the nation of Israel? And Paul's response is, of course not. And he goes on to expound on the plan that God has for the nation of Israel. So I see a difference here. There's a different resurrection that's for the Gentiles as compared to Israel. Luke 21. Turn to Luke 21 with me. Luke 21, verse 24. He's talking about the tribulation period, the tough times at the end. So this extreme time of tribulation, they will be killed by the sword or sent away as captive to all nations of the world, and Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles. He's talking about the time up until the end. Then the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. Until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. So there's a time for the Gentiles. This time will come to an end, as we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know that what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like the people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with Him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet Him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, and the voice of the archangel, that's Michael, the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God. For the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. and back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 54. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to life, to live ever forevermore. And we who are living will also be transformed, for our dying bodies must be transformed into the bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into the immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into the bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Back in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 9, I'm just going to look at some of the verses in there. In verse 2, the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. In verse 4, but you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. You won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief, for you are all children of the light and of the day, and we don't belong to the darkness and night. So be on your guard. Do not sleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, practice protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. There is a reality of the hope of the resurrection for us, the church, and it's coming. We don't know when. It'll be like a thief in the light. But we aren't to be caught unaware. We should be ready for Christ's return, which could happen any time. But I see that there is a little bit different resurrection in Daniel chapter 12, as we read there. There'll be a time of anguish, and then, but at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Many of those bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting disgrace. There is a real resurrection for Israel, the nation, the Israelites who have faith in their Messiah, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 26:19. There's not very many references to the resurrection in the Old Testament, but there are two in Daniel and one in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. But those who die in the Lord will live. Their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep on the earth will rise up and sing for joy. There is a real resurrection. And we'll see it in the last verse of chapter 12 as well, when he says to Daniel, then at the end of days you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. There is a real resurrection for the nation of Israel and those who have had faith in Jesus Christ. You can see those as similar events. The same events are completely different events, but the same thing is true. There is a resurrection facing us in the future. There is a resurrection. Matthew 24 is very disputed, but you can read that, study that on your own in more detail, but I'll just refer to it. Jesus says in verse 15, the day is coming when you'll see that Daniel the prophet spoke about the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place. Reader, pay attention. Verse 21, there will be greater anguish than at any time since the world began, and it will never be so great again. We're talking about a time that is going to be so severe before that resurrection. But Matthew chapter 24 is disputed whether it's written to the Gentiles or to the Israelites. So there's a little bit of confusion on that one, but the main thing is, again, there is going to be a resurrection. The names that were written in the book of life, Daniel 12, verse 1, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 20, it talks about this book, the book of life, verse 15. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, I won't read the entire chapter, but it talks about the day of the Lord's coming. Scoffers will come and say, hey, God's forgot about us. He doesn't even care. Verse 5, they deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of His command, and they think that He's forgotten about them, and they ignore the signs of the time. Verse 8, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. That's this window of the Gentiles, that the opportunity for the Gentiles to come to Christ through this window of time. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, He will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth He has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. It's interesting. The challenges that we face in the end times. And in those first four verses, that closing phrase caught my attention when I was studying this. At the end times, and Matthew 24 describes some of these same situations, many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase. Does that sound like today? Have you ever found your life spinning around, running from here to there? Corrie Ten Boom once said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And knowledge will increase. I was talking with Brian this last week about medical knowledge, how it has increased. And in 1950, medical knowledge was doubling every 50 years. I think that's right. Every 50 years, knowledge was doubling. Now, in 2010, let me get this, or maybe in 2020, they expect it to double every 73 days. Knowledge is on an increase like none other. Man is getting smarter and smarter, yet dumber and dumber sometimes, because we don't see what God is trying to do in our world. Knowledge increases, but our knowledge of God seems to be decreasing. That knowledge is becoming an idol. It's not bad that we're learning more and gaining more knowledge. It's the fact of what we do with that knowledge. To me, that's striking warning for us that we are in the end times. We are in the end times. How close? I don't know. It could happen anytime. But we have the reality of the resurrection, the hope of the resurrection. Next point I want to make is that this is a final tribulation. This, what Daniel's talking about here is not general tribulations. For the church, we're going to be going through tribulations. James 1, 2 through 12 talks about count it all joy when you encounter various trials. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that your faith is tested. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Tribulation for the church will happen. We're not going to be taken away from that tribulation. That's not what the rapture theory that I hold to talks about. We're going to go through tribulation. Some of us may give our lives for the sake of the gospel. Some of our ambassadors are risking their lives. Who knows? But we will face tribulations. James says, consider it joy, because that's a refinement process that's going on in our lives. In verse 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, talks about the Antichrist. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist is referred to. We didn't cover that in detail in chapter 11, the last part of chapter 11. But there's details there that have not been fulfilled by anybody that we know of yet. So this Antichrist is coming. But look what he says in verse 18. The Antichrist is coming, and already many such antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. People that are claiming to be the Christ are claiming to be the one, the Messiah. We've seen it over and over again. But this is not the Antichrist as such. But as a church, we will have to guard ourselves against those who are anti-Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. In His kindness, God called you to share in His eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, He will restore and support and strengthen you, and He will place you on a firm foundation. We will face trials as a church. But what Israel is facing is unprecedented. Chapter 12, verse 1. There will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. This is an unprecedented time of tribulation. Go back and read the last portion of chapter 11, verses 36 through the through the end of the chapter. It talks about the Antichrist coming and wreaking havoc in the nation of Israel against His people, against the people of God. Matthew 24, 21, we read that earlier. This is an unprecedented time. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus says, "The day is coming when you'll see that Daniel the prophet spoke about the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in that holy place." In verse 21, there will be a greater anguish than at any time since the world began, and it will never be so great again. Israel is facing some major tribulation. They have already faced major tribulations, but they are going to face something that is unprecedented, has not happened yet, even greater than what Hitler dished out. This will be a dark time for Israel. Revelation 12, 15. Revelation 12, verse 15. When the dragon, and it's speaking in images here, when the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood, it's basically the dragon is trying to drown out Israel, get rid of, annihilate all the Jews if possible. We've heard that repeated in history over and over again. And in the end time, though, the dragon will come against Israel and try to drown them out. It will last for 3.5 years, Daniel is told. Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. He asked, How long will it be until these shocking events are over? One of the angels asked him. The man dressed in linen gave the answer, saying, "It will go on for a time, times and a half a time." In other words, we're saying 3.5 years. The last half of the tribulation period, when the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end, all these things will have happened. God is in the process of doing some work in the nation of Israel. Verse 11, from that time the daily sacrifices stopped. The Antichrist has had a time of peace for 3.5 years. And then after that time of peace, he stops the daily sacrifice and puts up his own image, causes desecration, and is set up to be worshipped. There will be 1,290 days, which is a little more than 3.5 years. We don't know what those extra 30 days are. Maybe it's a time of judgment and setting up for the millennial period. And blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of the 1,335 days. We don't know what those extra 45 days are. It's a mystery yet. We still don't yet know what that is. But God has got a plan, a specific plan for the nation of Israel. And He's got a plan for us as a church. If you don't see the differences and you see it as one, it's still, we have to face some tribulation here. Regardless, we face the judgment. We face some suffering as a result of our faith in Christ. Revelation 11. I don't think I read that one yet. Revelation 11. Verse 2. But do not measure the order of the courtyard, for it has been turned over to the nations. They will trample the holy city for 42 months. I'll give them power to two witnesses, and they will be clothed in burlap and will prophesy during those 1,260 days. During those terrible 3.5 years. There's going to be two people witnessing. And there will be Israelites that will turn to Christ the Messiah as a result of these testimonies. The purpose of this tribulation, we got to keep this in mind, is Romans 11, 26, and we read that earlier. Romans 11, 26. After the full number of the Gentiles comes to Christ, and so all Israel will be saved. Doesn't mean that every individual will be saved. It's talking about the whole nation as a whole will turn back to Christ the Messiah and accept Him as their Messiah. As we read in the first verse in chapter 12 of Daniel, not everyone accepts Jesus Christ as the Messiah, even after this tribulation period. But there will be a time for those that repent. Daniel 12, verse 9. Verse 10. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials. Just like we read in James, that's the purpose of these trials, is to turn us to Christ, to turn the nation of Israel to their Messiah, Jesus. Daniel is told to be at peace. Verse 9. He didn't understand. He says, how will all this finally end, my Lord? And God tells him, go now, Daniel. Doesn't tell him to just leave, get out of here. That's not the what he's telling Daniel. He's basically telling him, be at peace. Let go of it. I got this. Let go of this. I got this. Leave this matter alone. You're not going to figure it all out. And sometimes we got to face the scriptures and let it go, because we're not going to figure it all out. Some of these things will not be figured out until the very end. But the wise will be alert, as it says in verse 3. They'll be about the business of sharing the gospel. And the wise will know what it means in verse 10. Because they're watching, they're listening, they're reading the word. And then the promise of rest. Moving on to Daniel chapter 12, verse 13. As for you, go your way. In other words, let it go. Go your way until the end, and you will rest. You will die. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. This is the rest that the writer of Hebrews talks about in Hebrews 4. The only way to enter that rest is through faith. And there are many who will refuse to enter that rest. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says it's not by our works that we enter God's rest. It's by faith. Grace through faith is how we are saved. It's not by our works. That is how we enter God's rest. John 14, 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The only way to find true rest in God is through Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross. Revelation 22, 14 says, blessed are those who wash their robes. They wash their robes in the blood of Christ. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Wow, I so look forward to that day. So what's the application here? How is the hope of the resurrection making any difference in our lives? Is it making any difference in our lives that we have the hope of resurrection after we die or after the Lord comes? How is that making any difference, or is it making any difference in our lives as we walk with Christ? Is it motivating us to live for Him, to shine like stars in the universe because of our acquaintance and our time with Christ? Are we shining as a result of our time with God? Are we sharing the good news to those around us? Are we caught up in the busyness of life, running here and there, trying to accomplish everything we possibly can and go to everything that we possibly can, drowning ourselves in busyness? ever increasing in knowledge, but neglecting to get to know our Savior Jesus Christ. Are you spending time with Him? Are you seeking His face? January 21, I'm asking for 63 people to stand in the gap. 63 people to stand in the gap for our church, for people, your families, to seek His vision for us in the coming year. Will you stand in the gap? Will you help us? And I'm not asking for much, okay? I'm hoping it will develop into way more things. But I'm just asking you to take one time, one meal time, and focus in on seeking God's vision for us this coming year. One meal. So we have 63 meals covered by 63 people praying, giving up a meal. Or maybe you want to give up 21 days of social media. How could we possibly do that? That'd probably be worse than stopping eating for 21 days, huh? I don't know. But whatever it is, Daniel set us an example, as we read in chapter 10, that when we pray and seek His face, He will answer us. Are you going to join me with that? There's on the chalkboard out there, there's a place to put your initial. You don't have to put your name up there on the board. Just put your initials there and sign on the notebook so we know what it's covered, and I can remind you, we can remind you throughout that week to pray and give you some instructions on some things that we'd love for you to pray with us together for. Will you do that with me? I pray that we will seek God's guidance this coming year, and that He will show Himself faithful to us and reveal His vision for us in this coming year. God bless.